Hebrew Club. Glad everybody could be here. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we're going to start with verse 4. Last week, we're continuing the conversation that Jonathan was having with David about the intentions of Saul. And at the end of the last session, David made this strong affirmation that he was only a step from death. If you remember the end of verse 3, that ve'ulam, but chayahweh, as Yahweh lives, and ve'che nafshecha, and as you live by the life of your soul, ki ke'pesa, that's that weird word, it means a step, surely about a step is there, beini, between me and between hamavet, death. The big one. You know. As my wife used to say it at Children's Hospital, the celestial discharge. Hamavet. She's a nurse. They have to talk in euphemisms.
The terminal event.
Yes, there it is. Hamavet. All right. So David was trying to convince Jonathan that his father was out to get him. And so now you can see what's going to happen today. They're going to concoct this plan to find out. Okay, so we start with verse 4. Vayomer Yehonatan el David. Then Jonathan said to David, Ma tomor nafsheka ve'eselak. This nafsheka, notice, is the subject of tomar. Okay, so Jonathan said to David, it's kind of literally, whatever your soul says. But here we shouldn't translate nephesh as soul. But as remember, nephesh can sometimes be used as a reference to yourself. So whatever, something like whatever you yourself say, ve'eseh, I will do for you. Okay? So Jonathan pledges David his allegiance here in verse 4. Hey, verse 5, Vayomer David el Yehonatan. So David replied to Jonathan. Here's his plan. Hine chodesh machar ve'anoki yashove shev im hamelech le'akol ve'shilachtani ve'nistarti basadeh ad ha'erev ha'shelishit. Okay. Then David said to Jonathan, look, chodesh machar. Chodesh is the common word for month, but it also refers to the new moon. Okay, so it's the day of the new moon. And machar is an adverb which means tomorrow. So you would translate, look, it is the new moon machar tomorrow. Or look, tomorrow is the new moon. Namely, there's a celebration with that, festival with that. Ve'anoki yashove shev. And I, a shev yashov. What is yashov here? It's an infinitive absolute from Yashav. See, it looks weird, but it's the infinitive absolute followed by the imperfect call of Yashav. So they're both from Yashav. So it's something like, I should really sit with the king, Le'ekol, to eat. That's an infinitive construct from Akal. Okay? So notice the Yashav, kind of, I would translate in this case, adverbially, to strengthen his affirmation. I should really sit with the king to eat. Beth shilach tani. Notice that this is a PL from shalach. And remember, we had this in the last chapter when Saul accused his daughter, Michal, of letting David go. And so I would translate this. Notice it has kind of an imperative force here as he's talking to Jonathan. I should really sit with the king to eat, but let me go. Okay? Or maybe, you know, sometimes in chapter 19 we also translate, help me escape, but kind of allow me to get away or something like that. Notice, ve'nistarti, and I will hide basadeh, in the field. The nistarki is a nifal, okay, vav plus perfect first common singular. It's a nifal. This word does not occur in the call. It occurs in the nifal, the other stems too, but the hifil is the transitive, to hide your face especially. But the nifal is intransitive, and that's what you have here. So, let me go, let me get away, and I will hide in the field until the evening Hashalishit, until the evening the third, until the third evening. So evidently the new moon was a 3 or 4 day celebration. It's a good time. You're the king. Notice Hashalishit is just the ordinal. It's an adjective, and so it modifies Ha'erev. Any questions about verse 5? All right.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
About the infinitive absolute, what is the vowel marking characteristics that kind of like...
Okay, notice what makes this unusual. What makes it hard to identify is that you don't have the holem. Notice, so it's written chaser, namely in that without the vowel helper. And if you'll notice, the Masoretes actually have a note about this particular one. And if you look at your margin, you can see the hay with the little dot above it. Everybody see that at the right margin? That means five times vechaser. Five times it's lacking the helping vav. So notice that this, if you had the vav here, it would look just like katol. Just think of your strong verb katol. But without it, it just looks strange because you're not used to seeing it. And this particular manuscript just doesn't have it. So the recognition point would normally be the helping consonant, the holem, under the vowel.
Yes. Wouldn't the infinitive construct have a schwa instead of
that? No, that would be... Oh, the infinitive construct would. Right. Yes, that's right. Another thing that helps you mark the infinitive absolute in distinction, usually, from the... I say usually because you never know. From the comments, yeah.
What's the third single masculine imperfect of shu look like?
Oh, it would be Yashuv.
Okay, it would
Yashuv, right. And sometimes that would be reduced, if it was like an adjusted form, to the kibbutz.
Yeah.
Right, good question. All right, anything else? Verse 6. Im pakod yifkedeni avika. All right. Now, pakad means to visit. This has a wide variety of glosses, if you'll notice in English. It's almost impossible. It's like water in trying to keep water in a sifter. Thing just goes through. To observe, to visit, sometimes it means to punish, to visit with the intent to punish. So here I would translate, if my father notices that I'm absent. See, notices me absent. Okay.
So how do you get that?
I mean, from pakad. I'm just kind of, again, the only way you would know that is to read on in the context.
Okay.
I didn't know that when I first read this, in other words. I was wondering, well, what does pakad mean here? I had to read the next line until I kind of figured out what the best English is. Okay? Again, notice you have the infinitive absolute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So something like, if my father should happen to miss me or observe that I'm gone, you almost have to fill it in with more English. Okay? Ve amarta, then say, notice he's talking to Jonathan, nishol nishal. We're majoring in infinitive absolutes here, right? Nishol, what's the root? Sha'al, you all know what it means.
Answer.
To ask. Sha'al.
Close.
To ask. This is a nifal form, so you have actually a nifal infinitive construct followed by a nifal perfect third masculine singular. To ask. Now this also occurs in the call. Here, the nifal actually occurs three times. Two times in this chapter and once in Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was asking permission from the king, you know, to travel back to Jerusalem. And so here, the nifal seems to add that nuance to ask for permission. Alright? Then, so David says, should your father notice my absence, or observe me being gone, then say, David asked me earnestly, la roots, to run to Bethlehem, Iro, his city, ki zevach hayamim, for the sacrifice of the days is there. Notice zevach hayamim, that is usually understood as the yearly sacrifice, on the basis of how it's used in the first chapter of Samuel. Remember when the family would go there every year for the yearly sacrifice, and Hannah never had any children. Okay? So, Zevach HaYamim, for the yearly sacrifice, is there for all the mishpacha, for all the family. So, in other words, David says, if Saul should notice that I'm gone, tell him, David asked me earnestly. That's where I'm getting the force of that infinitive absolute. He asked me earnestly to go to Bethlehem, his city, to celebrate the yearly sacrifice. Okay. Any questions through verse 6 of any grammar or anything? It's kind of convoluted. Yes?
When you're saying ask me, is that coming from the many?
Notice the... yes, mimeni is from the min with the suffix on it. First common singular suffix, right. Mimeni, you get that reduplication. So he asked of me. David asked of me earnestly. And the other, I think it's also used, let's see here, later on in the text with mimeni, and it also in Nehemiah, I think. So that's customary with that niphal. Okay? Anything else? Good, verse 7. Im ko yomar tov, shalom le'avdeka. Okay, let's make our way through this. If thus he says, notice the little accent under yomar, here's your trivial thing for today, that's a disjunctive accent. If thus he says, now under the tov, also a disjunctive accent. Okay? If thus he says, tov, good. Okay, now there that ends Saul's words. Shalom le'avdeka. There is good, it is good, it is peace to your servant, namely David. So in other words, if Saul says good, so if Jonathan tells Saul, David just went to Bethlehem, and Saul says good, shalom le'avdeka, then it is good news for David. Then he's at peace. Okay. Ve'im charo yecherah. But if, okay, now you know what that thing is. Charo. Another call, infinitive absolute. We're getting our nice lesson here. I'm going to remember this chapter. If charo yecherah. If he becomes really angry, to himself. I mean, if he himself becomes really angry, I don't know what that lo function is there. But if he becomes angry, okay, low in himself, right? This is with reference to himself, and I'm not quite sure what the best English translation should be. Da, what's da? From yada, it's a call imperative. Know that kalta hara'a. Ra'a is the subject of the verb kalta. That's a call. Perfect third feminine singular from kala, which means to be complete, often used to be at an end, to be consumed. It's used a lot in judgment passages where something is totally wiped out. But here it would mean to be complete. The evil is complete, me'imo, from with him. And remember, Hebrew likes to pile up prepositions, so I would just translate that. The evil is complete with him. In other words, he's kind of made up his mind against David. There's no wavering, no going back. So in other words, David says to Jonathan to look at Saul's reaction to this news that David's not at the table. If he's angry, then that means that the evil is complete with him. He's completely trying to kill David. Does that make sense? Any questions through verse 7? Yes.
What is the function of a disjunctive?
Okay, it kind of helps us to read. And notice it's important here because you're going to have trouble without the accents. The Masoretes are interpreting. Without them, you're going to have trouble trying to figure out how Tov relates to Shalom.
Okay.
And where the speech ends and all that, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's kind of complicated. Notice that we're really reading from the context, trying to figure out who says what and to whom. Notice there's not a lot of markers. And so by reading those accents, it's telling you how the Masoretes are inviting you to see how the thoughts move through the text. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 8 then. Ve'asita chesed al abdeka. And do chesed to your servant. In other words, show favor to your servant. Ki bivrit Yahweh. For in a covenant of Yahweh, heveta et abdeka, you have brought your servant Imak with yourself. So, for into a covenant of Yahweh, you have brought your servant with yourself. The heveta is from what?
From Bo.
Good. A hip feel perfect, second masculine singular. Alright, so notice that he's reminding Jonathan of their friendship and of the fact, remember, they made that pact before to that Jonathan would be his friend no matter what. Okay? Ve'im yesh bi avon hamiteniata. But if there is, yesh, notice the particle of existence, if there is in me avon, guilt, if there is guilt in me, hamiteniata. What's hamiteni? What's the root?
Moot.
From moot. Here's a hifil. So moot means to die. The hifil means kill me. Here's an imperative. Okay. So if there is guilt in me, kill me ata, you. Notice how the you provides some emphasis here. You yourself kill me. You kill me yourself. Ve'ad avika lama zeh tevieni. And here's, let me read it really roughly. And to your father, lama zeh. Why in the world Tevi Aini, here's another Hifil, why should you bring me? Alright? So in other words, he's saying, if there is guilt in me, you yourself kill me, for why in the world should you bring me to your father? In other words, if I'm guilty, you should kill me yourself. Why bother your father with this? Why not just please him and get it over with? Okay, so notice the word order in Hebrew is different for than what we would normally say it in English. Questions? All right, verse 9. Vayomer Yehonatan. Then Jonathan said, Chalil alak, far be it from you. May it not happen to you. Ki im yadoa eta. There's another one. Okay. Okay, notice another infinitive absolute. Ki im. For if I fully knew, I fully know, or certainly know, ki kalta hara'a, that the thing, that the evil was complete, me'im abi, with my father, labo, to go against you, aleka, okay, velo ota agila, would not it, I tell you, velo ota, would not it, notice that that's the direct object, it, agid, I report, from nagad, a hifil, would I not report it to you? So again, the whole verse. Then Jonathan said, may it not happen to you, for if I knew for sure, okay, that, or if I know for sure that the evil is complete from my with my father, to go against you, then would it not I report to you? Would I not report it to you? Alright. Questions on verse 9. It's kind of convoluted, but notice the vocabulary is not difficult if you just take the time to work out the word order. Part of the reason it's unusual is because we're getting so much direct speech, and you can imagine that there's kind of an emotional tone to the speech, and a kind of intimacy in this way that they're talking. And you notice, even in English, when we do that to close friends and we're kind of in an emotional state, our speech is going to be a little different than what we would speak in standard kind of public discourse or something like that. It'd be more informal, a little more rugged, and I think you're kind of seeing that. You can kind of see the emotion with the use of the infinitive absolutes, you know. You can see it going back and forth. Maybe that's one of the function of the infinitive absolutes here. It helps convey these emotions. And notice even particles like chalila. See, we've seen that twice within 9 verses here. So you can kind of get a sense of the emotion involved. Okay, we'll do one more verse, verse 10. Vayomer David el Yohanan. Then David said to Jonathan, Mi yagid li. Who will report to me? Or, now here's some words missing. Ma ya'aneka avika kasha. or, here's literally, or what will your father answer you? Kasha is harsh. Here's an adverb. Okay, so let me kind of fill this in for you. David said to Jonathan, who will tell me? Or, and I have to bracket it in with a ma. How, translate ma's how. How will I know if your father answers you kasha, harshly? So you kind of have to put the how will I know. But again, he's speaking kind of very terse, broken. So, who will tell me? Or, what, how, if your father answers me harshly? See, notice there's kind of a gap in his thought process that you have to fill in. And we're depending on the context to fill it in.
Is that maybe, just like you were saying earlier, a conversational thing? What if,
yeah.
What if your father tells you harshly?
Yeah.
Just kind of an opening question.
See, how will I know? See, it's kind of like we would say how or what, you know, and then you kind of leave it hanging there. What happens if your father honors you or answers you harshly? Notice that ya'aneka is from ana, third hey verb, simple call, imperfect. All right, so notice, yes, you're seeing kind of a shortened speech, as you might expect. It's kind of interesting. All right, very good. We'll stop here, and we will continue with this episode next week. Thanks for coming.